And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 28th of November. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. It's a significant day because it is the eve of voting in the general election. And I'm sure some of you excited beyond. And I'm sure some of you are like, oh my God, will they ever move on? Well, the only good thing about this short run in is that it's going to be all over and done with really, really quite quickly. We had our three debates over the course of this week. A big thank you to the vast majority of candidates that came in to pitch for your votes. And you will vote tomorrow if you choose to vote tomorrow. Very interested to get your reaction, I suppose, as you reflect on the three debates. Did you listen to them? Did it move the dial, as that phrase goes, in any particular candidate's favour? Or indeed, was there a point where you said, you know what, I was going to vote for you, but I'm not going to vote for you anymore? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. It's always interesting when the Tribune poll is released. It is out now. John McAteer of the Chicconnell Tribune will be joining us after we have a run through all of the papers today, just to see what potentially it could mean. We all know the only poll that matters is the poll tomorrow. We've seen in the past with the referendums, to some extent with the US election and elsewhere, that polls sometimes don't always get it right because people might change their minds or what have you. But this is a poll that's done in a very detailed way. It does actually speak to people and ask them specific questions. So bar them, you know, literally not saying what they're actually going to do, it should be reasonably accurate. The Chicago Tribune poll shows that Pierce Doherty is running away with it, effectively. One in four people in the whole county intend to vote for Pierce Doherty, 26.6%. Pat the Cope Gallagher, he is showing better than he did in the TG Cahir poll. Whether that didn't really capture his support or if support has shifted between then and now, who's to say? But he's at 13.8%. Pádraig McLaughlin is sitting on 11%, which again is a higher showing than the TG Cahir poll. Charlie McConlogue is at 8.03%, still enjoying 20% of the vote in Inishowen, 8.03% nationally. Thomas Pringle, 7.22%. Charles Ward of 100% redress at 7%. John McNulty of Fine Gael, 6.3%. Nicky Bradley, 5.7%. Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin, 4.1%. Mary T. Sweeney of Aintu, 2.6%. And the rest, really actually quite a significant amount, 7.44%. How much of a factor will they play in all of this? Because it all very much depends to, nationally, there are trends as to how parties transfer. So Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael transfer very well amongst each other. So that could benefit one of their candidates, either ors. Sinn Féin, the way they transfer or receive votes for that matter, can be somewhat different. But we'll tease all that out over the next hour. But 3.681 million are registered to vote in Friday's general election, with expectations that the turnout may struggle to reach above the 62% that voted in February 2020. Since the start of the year, 428,000 people, new applications have been made and registered with the Electoral Commission. The national outcome is too close to call, and here in Donegal, the Chicconnell Tribune poll reveals that there will be three candidates battling for the two seats. Last week's opinion poll was conducted between Wednesday and Friday. 872 people participated. Around 40% were undecided and are not included in the poll, which is 40% is a huge number of you out there that can swing this dramatically one way or another, bar one or two candidates. The poll suggests that Sinn Féin will retain their two seats, while Pat the Cope Gallagher is the leading Fianna Fáil candidate. The poll was completed 7 days out from the election, and it shows the state of the parties, with Sinn Féin on 41.7%, down 3.3% since 2020. Pierce Doherty is a share of 26.1%, and it's as close as it can get to his actual vote in 2020, when he got 21,044 votes. Fianna Fáil is on 22.7% support, which is up by 2.29% since the last general election. Pat the Cope Gallagher is on 13.8%, with Minister McConlogue on 8.03%. So who's safe? Who isn't? It's all to play for. And it is all to play for you guys out there as to what way you want it to go. That is the just, it could not be any simpler than that. If you weren't going to vote and you do, you can decide the outcome of this election. If you're undecided, and maybe you listened to the Highland Radio debates and decided since that poll was conducted, you can skew this in any which way you like. And that's the wonderful thing about democracy. The Donegal News, Donegal to have its say. Thousands of people in Donegal will cast their ballot in the general election tomorrow, with five seats up for grabs in the tightly contested constituency and 20 keen candidates. Much dialogue has been given as to how the votes will go, but there is uncertainty. Polling suggests that Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty is again expected to top the ballot in the Donegal constituency. Last time out in 2020, Sinn Féin held more than 45% of the first preference votes, with both candidates elected on the first count. Mr. Doherty topped the poll with a staggering 21,044 votes, and running mate Páraig McLoughlin also comfortably exceeded the quota on the first count with 13,891 votes. Between them, Doherty and McLoughlin had a shared quota of 27, enough to have potentially elected a third candidate at a shared quota of 27. That must be percentages. This time around, Sinn Féin is looking to take advantage of their surplus by running a third candidate, Councillor Noel Jordan. However, this same strategy is what cost McLoughlin his seat back in 2016. But they're in a much safer position, the two of them at least, this time around compared to 2016, depending on if people go out and vote, of course. Derry News, a heartbroken Derry mother said she felt compelled to speak out about the high number of anonymity order is being granted locally in drug-related prosecutions. This is something that I was querying previously, looking through the papers. It seems to be almost Derry-specific. Leanne McLoughlin, whose daughter Caitlin, 16, collapsed at the Belsonic Music Festival in Belfast in June 23, described the anonymity orders as an open invitation for drug dealers to come to Derry. Apparently it's to protect the safety of those accused, but I have to agree with the mother on that one. I don't understand. Let's look at the situation nationally in the election. The three main parties are deadlocked as the country heads towards the polls. Fianna Fáil holding the most slender of leads over Fine Gael and Sinn Féin, while Micheál Martin's party edged ahead with 21% of support. The trend of Fine Gael support falling has continued in the latest Business Post Red Sea poll. After a gaffe-filled campaign, Fine Gael now sits at 20%, down 2 points, and the lowest since Simon Harris took over as leader last March. It's going to be an interesting one as to how a government is formed. It's going to be problematic, I think. The Irish Daily Mail, Conor McGregor's partner Dee Devlin has launched an attack on Nikita Hand, who won a High Court case for civil damages after a jury found that the MMA fighter had raped her in a Dublin hotel in 2018. She posted on her Instagram, but the language and tone sounded very much like it was Conor McGregor typing it. I'm not suggesting it was, it just sounded like that. Several posts were uploaded on Miss Devlin's Instagram social media account after Miss Hand won almost a quarter of a million in damages. And on Monday night, Miss Devlin's Instagram page was made public with a photo posted of the couple and two of their children, along with the caption, "My man and I have created a beautiful life together. I love him, I trust him, and I believe him." She goes on then to say that she'd warn her children about women like her, in inverted commas. But Conor McGregor obviously was playing the field whilst she was pregnant with one of their children, and has been pictured in cozy situations with many others in the past. So I would also, if she intends to do that, give their children, particularly the daughters, a warning about fellas like him. The Irish Times, the whereabouts of four asylum seeking children was unknown for more than a fortnight by management at their accommodation centre, an inspection report has found. In another centre, there were evidence of a large number of insects in the kitchen, while in another where almost half of the residents were children, one staff member was working without Garda vetting. When senior management at the Candorcan Towers Centre in West Dublin was eventually told four children were missing, no action was taken. The report by the Health Information and Quality Authority, HICWA, says the incident occurred when the children's parents were hospitalised. A really quite remarkable story there. The Farmers Journal out today. They've a lead story on beef. Beef quotas are rising by the day as factories struggle to source enough finished cattle for the lucrative Christmas market. Over €6 a kilogram is now available for Inspur Aberdeen Angus heifers. Flat prices of £5.50 a kilogram have been paid for Friesian bullocks, with R-grade cows making up to £5.40 a kilogram. Really quite remarkable prices there. The Irish Daily Star this morning: investigators searching for the remains of disappeared victim Joe Linsky said the exhumation of a grave in County Monaghan had been a difficult time for his family. The Independent Commission for the Location of Victims' Remains said a formal process would be undertaken to establish the identity of all the remains found in the grave in the village of Anyala. Mr. Linsky, a former monk from Belfast who later joined the IRA, was abducted, murdered and secretly buried by the IRA in 1972. He's one of 17 people who were disappeared by Republican paramilitaries during the Troubles in the North. You're being asked to not consider buying e-scooters for teenagers, or indeed Santi's being discouraged from getting them as well. Adults are urged not to gift e-scooter, quads, bikes and scramblers to children this Christmas. Road safety chiefs issued the plea yesterday, with Black Friday and the Late Toy Show coming up. Under new laws introduced in May, individuals must be aged at least 16 to legally use an e-scooter in Ireland. The scooter, that's on public roads. The scooters are also banned from footpaths, and users are not allowed to carry passengers. Ahead of Christmas, the Road Safety Authority's strongly advising against the purchasing of e-scooters for children. The RSA also wants to remind parents that quad bikes and scramblers pose significant safety risks to youngsters. So you'll not see any of them on the Late Toy Show then. Everything's a wee bit sanitised now, but anyway, that's the way it is, and I know there is a safety issue there. Finally, for the Irish Daily Mirror, back to the elections. Taoiseach Simon Harris has said he does not know if he would allow Senator John McGahan to join him on the campaign trail if he travels to Louth. The Fine Gael leader told reporters that he has made his view in relation to violence clear and emphasised that the party has two candidates running in Louth for election. Just last week, Mr. Harris indicated that he would be willing to canvass with the senator. Now he's not so sure. And it's that kind of flip-flopping that's going to cost him. My suspicion is that when the dust settles nationally, Fine Gael may choose to go into opposition. And I think Leo Varadkar wanted to do that, or certainly was minded to do that last time. I think the time is right now, which is going to make it very complicated to form a government. I don't think Fine Gael are going to have the numbers really to be a powerhouse with Fianna Fáil. Let's say that's how the chips fall. So I'd imagine they might go into opposition and rebuild from there if the polls play out the way they're looking that they are. With me now is John McAteer, editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
You fielded quite a few calls, did you, during the week from candidates and others looking to get some indications to how the poll was going, to get a read?
From 6 o'clock last night when it went on the Facebook page, that ended shortly after midnight. Probably about 40 calls at that point. Mm-hmm. Some of them very lengthy.
I can imagine so. This poll actually kind of aligns more to what I was anticipating compared to previous polls. And it shows that, obviously, the powerhouse that is Piers Doherty powers forward 26.61%. His running mate, Pádraig McLoughlin, on 11.01%. The vote, for the most part, holding up, even with the challenges and potential competition that they face this time round.
Absolutely, they were in 45%, slightly over 45% the last time. It's back by a couple of percentage points, but that's not what's going to worry them. I would say that the Sinn Féin's two seats are they're in the bank, safe as houses. And then afterwards it gets very interesting, because their transfers are going to come into play, how that's going to work out. The last time that we did a poll, Piers Doherty was at 32%. And the election wasn't until the Saturday. And mysteriously, Pádraig McLoughlin's vote had jumped 7.9% between the poll and the actual election. And Piers Doherty went down to 26. Will that happen again? There's a third player in there that could be important. That's Noel Jordan, who's a decent vote at 4%. Doherty will be transferring to McLoughlin by about 40%, to Jordan by about 15%, to Mayor Colum by about 8%, to Pat the Cope by about 12%. So you can see where the margins are starting to come into it.
Is there any pathway for any pathway, do you see, for Noel Jordan taking a third seat for Sinn Féin at this point?
Hard to see that. He's going to have a very decent vote. He would have to get very big transfers from Sinn Féin across the board. He would particularly have to get them from Doherty because he's got them. At this point, he'll have a huge surplus. Patrick McLaughlin's on 11%. He won't have a surplus until he gets over the quota. So we'll have to wait and see how that happens. Will McLaughlin's figures from the transfers be sufficient to give him the 9% that he got the last time, or will he just get across the line at 16.66? Those are all things to be played out for. And then you get into this conundrum where Jordan's vote, you're all very clannish up in that South Donegal area, you know. Couldn't believe it, Greg.
A lot of people from Jordan transferring to Pringle then, is it?
Absolutely. One third of Jordan's vote is going to Pringle, and that's going to upset the apple cart altogether. So it's going to be really intriguing in those first couple of counts. But before we get to that, we just look at Fianna Fáil. They're up a couple of percentage points. Charlie McCallum Logue is at 8% in that poll. It mightn't be that much to worry about, given that Pat the Cope is on close to 14%. Can Pat the Cope hold on and take that seat? I would say it's probably 50-50 at this point. Because, you know, it was an interesting scenario was going on last night. I was getting phone calls at 6:30 that canvassers were already out on the doorsteps in the aftermath of the poll all around the county. It's amazing what happens
in one evening. Is there any indication as to how, given the geographical location of both candidates, how Pat the Cope Gallagher would benefit from Piers Doherty's surplus in, you know, on its first distribution?
He'll be getting 10 to 12% there. He'll be getting transfer also when it comes up from Patrick McLaughlin. Pat the Cope is transfer friendly. Thomas Pringle is very transfer friendly. So is Charles Ward.
We will get to those in a moment. We heard from Brendan Byrne in a piece of analysis last week where he believes, and I hope I'm not misquoting him and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, that he believes that whilst Pat the Cope Gallagher may well poll very well, he would struggle greatly. He would struggle more to pick up transfers compared to Charlie McConnell Logue. So you could have a situation whereby, in terms of first preferences, Pat the Cope Gallagher well of Charlie McConnell Logue, but as the day proceeds, that he sort of stagnates a little bit and is overtaken by Charlie McConnell Logue. So if there were one Fianna Fáil seat up for grabs, for an example, that would be Charlie McConnell Logue's pathway to it. You might argue there's two seats for them.
For Fianna Fáil? Potentially.
It's looking less likely in this poll, isn't it?
It's going to make it much, much tighter. Brendan would err on the side of pessimism, you know. There's good reason for that, because we're going to have to see. We do feel that Thomas Pringle is very strong, that he's in there, that he's going to get that seat. He's always transfer friendly, and remember that he's in the Dáil since 2011. He has made a lot of contacts and a lot of acquaintances, and has done a huge amount of work along the way. So, sitting TD since 2011. McConnell Logue, likewise, senior minister. That doesn't mean an awful lot. But what intrigues me most is these transfers, or the surplus of Piers Doherty's, that could be at what, about 8,000, you know. We could put flesh on what the tallies might actually look like, vote-wise. Just using this fallback figure of 14,000 as a potential quota. That is based on what the likely turnout will be. We're presuming it's going to be around that 62%, the same as the last time, though I can't bet on that. You'd also be looking at the fact that with an increased electorate, we were just short of 13,000 the last time. It's going to be over 14,000. So you're going to be looking at 85,000 votes. So you'd be looking at a quota of 14,000, just as a ballpark figure. And that would give Piers Doherty, and this is where it's going to get fairly intriguing, he'll be on about close to 22,000. Big, big, big numbers there. Pat the Cope would be about 11,600. Paddock would be on about 9,500. Charlie McConlow would be over 7,000. Thomas Pringle would be over 6,000, and Charlie Ward would be just about on 6,000 or thereabouts. So it's within those parameters that we're going to be looking at for 12 long hours on Saturday and probably the same on Sunday.
But with that in mind then, if we were to go by the poll, Pat the Cup Gallery is in an incredibly strong position.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, so from that, go ahead, sorry, explain why.
Just looking across the electoral areas, he is breaking out of the Glenties area somewhat. He's getting a decent vote in Milford, about 7.5%. He's up 5% there. So all of those things are going to count. It's going to be small margins. They're all going to count. But from what I've seen looking through the figures, and about 150 of them sitting in front of me here, the Cope is moving, albeit quite slowly at times, but he's getting closer and closer to the edge to make the quota. The intriguing thing there for Charlie McConnell Logan is that he can't depend on that very much. If there's going to be very little quota, maybe a couple of hundred, you know, he'd have to depend on votes from elsewhere, so he will.
This is my question that I was going to ask, actually. Where do the votes come from? Where do the transfers come from for Fianna Fáil? Traditionally, Fine Gael, for example, and we'll talk about them in their own right, Fine Gael would transfer well to Fianna Fáil, but there's not a ton there, and we don't know who might transfer geographically, or maybe you can give us a suggestion with John McNulty and Nicky Bradley, well outside the Inishowen area, for an example.
So well, I said, yeah.
Where does he get the 7? Where does he get the 6,000 votes ahead of somebody else to get into the fourth or fifth seat, Charlie McConnell?
He'll be depending a wee bit on his colleagues in government. That is Fine Gael. Nicky Bradley will have 5.7% of first preference. Charlie McConnell will get a small percentage of that, probably about 5 or 6%. Likewise, John McNulty will transfer a bit to him as well. Not an awful lot.
Yeah,
it's mainly going to Pat the Cope.
Again, you talk about geographically. John McNulty is a million miles away from Charlie McConnell Logan in people's minds, in Ardrah,
yeah,
Kitty Beggs, all those areas. You know, I know Charlie McConnell Logan has got a national platform, don't get me wrong, but I can't see people in that area transfer, just literally because they probably don't feel he's local to them.
Charlie McConnell Logan's problems begin and end in Inishowen, really, to a great extent. He's down by 9.6% there. He can't afford that. He has to make that back up. He'll get a bit from Letterkenny. He's okay in Milford. He could be much better there, but he's going to be depending on votes from eliminations mainly. You have ten candidates under 2%. A lot of them under 1%.
Yeah, but so I mean, just in relation to that, 7.44% of others, because we've got a strong candidate in Thomas Pringle who's separated out, I suppose, from independents and others. Having spoken to all of the candidates, most of them over the course of the week, I don't see 500 votes for Charlie McConnell Logan in that 7.44%. I can't see how any one of those candidates could get a 1 from someone who might give a 2 to Charlie McConnell Logan.
This is going to be the wait and see. It'll be like paint dry into it. The first couple of counts will go on fairly smoothly. We'll probably get through that. Oh, the tally will take 4 to 5 hours. The count will take 3 to 4 hours. Then we'll see a clear picture when we see the actual figures of the first count. That will be watched by Charlie McConnell Logan. He will need to be above that 8%. And there'll be a fair bit of hard work going on behind the scenes today to just lobby those whom that probably believed the first time they talked to them.
I have to take a break and we're going to come back to you. But just in relation to how Inishowen plays out, I think off the back of a few other polls and just maybe, wow, the election is around the corner, people in Inishowen are redoubling their efforts to try and get support away from Charlie McConnell Logan to others. I get the impression that even 100% redress campaigners or party members they don't necessarily know is the right thing for them to encourage people to vote for Pádraig McLoughlin or Charles Ward. I think I think they're in a dilemma there. As much as they back and support Charles Ward, I think they're looking at this and going, right, okay, we've a day to go. Who do we encourage people to vote for? Do you get me?
Charles Ward voting and is shown on the poll is under 10%.
That's remarkable.
It would need to be 2-3 times that. It isn't. Can anything happen today that'll change that? It's very, very possible. It's not all that unlikely, but like at the end of the day, do people just suddenly get 2 or 3 canvassers on their doorstep and change their mind? I think that day is gone. People make up their own minds. Charles Ward has a nice handy vote there of 7%. A new candidate, a new party, 7%, and their opening gambit in a general election is quite good. If it was at 10%, they would take that seat because they'd be transfer friendly. Mm. As he now stands, he's going to do reasonably well in transfers, but is he still going to be in that final slot and unable to make up the last 1,000 votes?
And I think the public are trying to decide as well. Do we go for a party that's promised bells and whistles end to end and who potentially could be in government, or do we go for an affected homeowner who will be able to talk about this in a completely different context if elected to the Dáil? And I think people are genuinely deciding which way to go tactically themselves, both individually and I think in an organised way.
One of the strange things I found about the poll was that the Inishowen one, and we were paying particular attention to it, is that Pierce Doherty's vote in Inishowen is exactly that of Charlie McConnell Logue at 17.95% in the poll. And that's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Doherty is just... The votes are flowing in right across the whole electoral areas. No matter where he is. Pat the Cope is competing with him for the top of the poll in the Glenties area. That one is still to be won. But like that's how close it is up there. Mm-hmm. Pat the Cope has gone in there. His vote has increased substantially from 9.64 the last time.
Why is that, do you think? Do you think there's an element of... in certain areas of people wanting to vote Fianna Fáil, but maybe they're being guilted into not voting for Charlie McConnell Logue?
Absolutely. And they see Fianna Fáil as that, they see Pat the Cope as that little bit removed from Fianna Fáil. He's kind of the rebel figure and he's enjoying that. I mean, any candidate that for three weekends in a row can have up to 200 people, Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays, giving up their time, coming back from Dublin, coming back from elsewhere to go out and walk the roads and the highways and byways and burn up shoe leather for Pat the Cope Gallagher. It's a very powerful thing you see in his... That poll should see him growing in stature because people will be impressed by that. And see Pat at one slightly removed... He is his own candidate. I mean, at Christmas time, Fianna Fáil were not. There was no intention of having Pat the Cope on their panel. It was going to be Councillor Michael Naughton who topped the poll in June at the local elections, and that was grand. But I mean, Pat the Cope stuck it in there. I'm sure he was persuaded heavily by Fianna Fáil headquarters, by the General Secretary Sean Dorgan, by anybody else that he would listen to. But Pat the Cope had his mind fixed and made up that I'm going to be that candidate. And probably had he not been that candidate, he could easily have gone independent and done probably as well, or even better.
We're in conversation with John McAteer. We're breaking down the Tribune poll and also drawing on his expertise to try and make sense of this. And listen, the only poll that matters really is the one tomorrow, and we know that. But we love our politics here in County Donegal. And it's interesting that this conversation... How ruffling feathers, piquing a few interests, because there's still an awful lot to play for amongst those heavily involved in politics. If you don't mind, John, can I presume for the purpose of this conversation, and it all depends on people getting out to vote, can I presume that Pierce Doherty, Páirc McLoughlin and Pat the Cope Gallagher are in a very strong position for 3 seats? You've already indicated that Thomas Pringle is incredibly transfer friendly and there's a very clear pathway for him to secure the 4th or 5th seat. So if we can agree on that, I would like to turn our attention to the 4th stroke 5th seat, the last seat potentially, and who might get that. Have I set it up agreeable to you? And if so, who are who is actually in the shake-up for a seat? Does it go down as far as John McNulty?
He'll have a major say in it with his transfers. Nicky Bradley will also have a major say with her transfers, because Nicky Bradley's transfers are going along this line of Fianna Fáil are our partners in government. She's on 5.7. She will have a say in it to some extent. If we just talk about Fine Gael for a minute, this two candidate strategy has failed them before. Failed them in 2002, when their two candidates got 16% of the poll, and somebody way below that leapfrogged them and took that seat. Okay, Donegal was a three-seater at that time. Had a run with one candidate, it might have been much better had that candidate the whole run of the constituency. You know, we're still very much Donegal North East and Donegal South West, and that's understandable. But a two-candidate strategy on around 12% is not designed to win a seat. It's just not like that. Joe McHugh has proven that since 2007, and I'm sure if Joe McHugh was about this time, would be a single candidate strategy. So why two now? Who selected that, or who made that decision?
Well, I think that was a national decision, wasn't it? I mean, and I don't know how long it was in the making, but it appears to me that it was a national decision, because you would have heard the local pushback as to people to a point whereby I think there were conversations in the background to try and find a way to disqualify Nicky Bradley from actually running for the party.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's quite true. John McNulty's campaign was going very, very well up to that point. He'd done a lot of work here in the Milford area and in the Downings area and out in Rathmullen, Remelton, Kilmacrean and to Letterkenny. That then was removed from, as you could understand, and he couldn't come in here again. So Nicky Bradley was left with Donegal North East, and as a brand new candidate, the whole politics of it would be a bit new to her, you know. She has campaigned well, but 12% for Fine Gael at this point is too low. There would have to be huge changes.
It's a remarkable. I think this would be the first time that there hasn't been a Fine Gael elected representative in this constituency for a very, very long time. And I know, speaking to politicians from other parties, they're flabbergasted at the state of the popular support in Donegal for Fine Gael.
Absolutely, yeah. Fine Gael, Paddy Hart was the father of the Dáil, and he lost that seat in 97. And it was lost for 10 years until Joe McHugh came along and re-energised the party. And a lot in Fine Gael will now say to me, he done nothing of the kind. I saw it firsthand what Joe McHugh did for Fine Gael from the 99 local elections. He ran a Blaney-style campaign. He energised a whole lot of people around him that weren't Fine Gael at all, and they stayed with him. Some of the former Labour people that would have been part of Sean Maloney's entourage back in the day, they came on board. Joe McHugh came in there, just one candidate, and he took that seat. He topped the poll that day. And he might have fallen out of favour with Fine Gael when he was a minister, because you can't be at the beck and call of your local constituency day in and day out, 7 days a week. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Joe McHugh felt that he would have built the organisation up sufficiently up to 2014-15, that the constituency executive should have been able to stand on their own two feet and try and build a whole new base of a younger voter. And that wasn't there for Fine Gael for some reason. And I mean, we saw the performance at the last local elections, and it was a very, very bad one, that they dropped 5,000 votes. They've clawed their way back somewhat, but I mean, they're down 1.79 since 2020, and that's, they would need to be up. They were on that 13.79. If they had built that up to 15-16%, they would have taken that seat, provided they didn't split it.
But where have the Fine Gael votes gone? Who are they voting for? Are they voting for local candidates? Who are the hardcore Fine Gael people that, you know, backed Joe McHugh and historically backed other candidates? Who are they voting for now?
Maybe the hardcore Fine Gael voters are what you're seeing there in that 12%.
Right.
That's my fear, that they've gone down and gone down very, very substantially. Their organisational structure hasn't been what it should be for a number of years. Young people haven't been joining it, but then again, they've not had, you see, there's two things going on here. Fine Gael only has a couple of councillors in this constituency. Barry Sweeney would have been a councillor, but in Donegal, in Sligo Leitrim. Martin Harley and Jimmy Kavanagh, and they had one councillor in Inishowen.
Johnny McGuinness.
So Fianna Fáil had been sitting there up until the local elections with 12 councillors and Sinn Féin with 10. And this is where the work is done on the ground. You know, this is the whole new system that you utilise. I mean, Fianna Fáil have very, very proactive councillors. And Fine Gael has only 3 councillors against that. So it's an organisational thing, being in touch with the grassroots. Fianna Fáil practices that to a T. Kieran Brogan would be the king of the campaigners in that regard.
Okay. So then, to try and break it down, is it Charlie McConnell Logue, Thomas Pringle, Charles Ward, John McNulty, and an outsider, potentially two outsiders, John McNulty and Noel Jordan, in the shake-up for 2 seats?
Maybe not.
Well, break it down for me too. You've seen the numbers.
I'm not too sure that Charlie McConnell Logue is going to take that first seat. There are those arguments going on last night in my living room at 2 o'clock in the morning. That thing, the whole dynamic would change once the poll was seen, and that Charlie McConnell Logue could get in there and take that third seat. I'm not going to agree or disagree with that. The poll is there, and I'm just looking at it.
I genuinely can see apathy being a problem. If I was Piers Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin now, I'd be saying, listen, lads, get out there and tell everyone we aren't safe. You have to vote for us. You can't stay at home. You know, I could see apathy certainly being an issue. I don't know if this poll would shock people, because I think in certain ways people have their minds very made up. Like saying in a show, and just like 12.3% of independent and others. That is a huge amount of votes that are to be distributed on that peninsula.
You see, you're looking at Kim McMenamin, who was on the debate yesterday, and he done himself no harm at all because he hogged the debate for a good part of it.
Do you think so?
Yeah, he was very, very good, and you allowed him. You allowed him enough rope to make it interesting, and he got his point across. That'll do him no harm at all. He could go up another percentage point today. And
how do you think Charlie McConnell Logue did in the debate?
He was fine. He was fine. He didn't lose any votes. Charlie McConnell Logue is a good canvasser on the doorstep, but more and more it's emerging that Charlie himself needs to be the man on that doorstep. Sending out his lieutenants to some country areas is not working that well. People expect to see the minister, but like at the end of the day, Sinn Féin is controlling this election because they are so powerful. I mean, there was people saying to me, Sinn Féin will have half their vote lost come election day. That's not happening out in rural Ireland at all. I mean, what's been seen and read in the media, it's a different world. It's a different bubble that the media live in.
Right, so I'm going to get back to the question because I'm fascinated to find out the answer. So run down the 5 for me. Who do you think should be okay? Who's in the running for what?
I'm taking it from the poll that Piers Doherty and Patrick McLaughlin and Pat the Cope will get those first.
Pat the Cope's going to be so close to a quota potentially.
He has to be factored in. Well, like he's getting 25% of Mary T. Sweeney's her vote could be up at about 2,500. So he's getting a fine vote there. Those things have all to be factored in. Charlie McConnell Logue would be the favourite for that fourth seat. And the fifth one would then be between Thomas Pringle and Charles Ward. Pringle, now the stronger candidate, taking more transfers, and he has that factor of being there for 13 years, and people will have been in touch with him, and people will put their trust and their vote in him.
Tomorrow. A caller wants to know, if someone exceeds the quota, what happens to their surplus? Does it go to a second preference? And maybe they're considering then who to vote for tactically. So can you give a brief description of that, John?
Yeah, Piers Doherty has a surplus, say, of 8,000. That 8,000 is distributed
So the second preferences of that 8,000. Okay.
Yeah. Like the percentage of that will be distributed. It could be 8,000. If you haven't voted him number two and you have voted him at number three, he'll get that. It's the next continuing preference that counts. If somebody votes for McConnell Logan, he's elected. That Doherty's surplus for it, if you have number three, it's the next usable vote. So if you vote three, you're advised to vote five or six or seven.
And it's interesting too, there seems to be a move for people to say, vote only for me, no one else. And it seems to be coming from a lot of the independent new parties. But I mean, I don't know what kind of an impact that might have. John, what percentage of the 38% of people that didn't vote last time out was down to a messy electoral register, double votes being sent out to people, votes being sent to the wrong addresses, people being removed from the register? I'm curious, do you have any sense of?
Yeah, I do. The first thing that happened, we had Storm Ciara on that Saturday morning and absolutely blew the roof off places up until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, in most cases, is a family day out. There's probably, we've talked to about 40% of people who are undecided. A lot of people were simply just not going to vote and just a plague on all your houses and they're good for nothing. It's that attitude that's out there. But the genuine Democratic voter will come out and vote and may make up their mind just as they're going to the poll. Like, just on that cusp of that last 30 seconds when they're going to the polling station, they decide, oh, I'll give this one a vote and I'll give that one a vote and I'll give the other one a vote. There are plumpers all over the place. But some people vote the whole 20 candidates, and you see that.
I must put it to you, because a number of people are asking, and it's not certainly not for me to say, but I'd respect your opinion on it. A lot of people are attributing Charlie McConnell's fall in the polls with his refusal to engage on this programme. I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor, but there seems to be quite a number of texts saying in that that's done him harm over the course of the last couple of years.
We didn't find any of that at all. We didn't find any of that. Charlie McConnell-Logue has been out working very, very hard around Donegal. You now realise that no matter what a minister delivers, at the end of the day, it just does not matter all that much. Joe McHugh delivered a packet of money and people before him delivered huge amounts of money.
Can I just say one thing on that point? We have never seen an election ever in the history of this state where we've got three parties nationally promising so much. They're promising the sun, the moon and the stars, and it hasn't actually either got a huge interest in the general election or moved opinion in any way, shape or form. It really is actually quite a remarkable factor on a national scale of this election to me.
Sun, we're the only democracy in Europe that one party is persona non grata from the word go. No matter what Sinn Féin gets, they're out. You'd almost think that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris believes that Sinn Féin are toxic and that they shouldn't be getting the same percentage of votes as they're getting or their votes are worth less.
But Fine Gael, I think Fine Gael are going to opt to go into opposition. I don't think they're going to go in as a much weaker government party. And I think if Fianna Fáil want to be in power, they're going to have to speak to Sinn Féin or vice versa.
Yeah. Sinn Féin's problem the last time is that they were brand new up at that level and nobody was going to touch them. Leo Varadkar had made it very clear that he was going into opposition because the party needed to rebuild itself. The party has probably revitalised itself. We'll see what percentage they went into this election with 32 seats. They would have been hoping to get up to 50. It's hard to see them reaching anywhere near
with
that.
With half of their TDs not even standing. Fascinating. John, you'll be with me on Saturday, of course, won't you?
Yeah,
I look forward to it. I have to go and take a break because I could do this for a couple of hours. But I'll tell you, we'll not have anyone cutting us off on Saturday. That's for a fact. All right, John, see you soon. Thanks so very much indeed. John McAteer there.